Yo, listen up, here's the story about a little guy that lives in a blue world. And all day and all night and everything he sees is just blue, like him inside and outside. Blue his house with a blue little window and a blue Corvette. And everything is blue for him and himself and everybody around, 'cause he ain't got nobody to listen to.
Welcome to Jim's Movies and Junk. I'm Notorious J.M.
And I'm Julian.
And today we're going to review Iron Man 3. Let's start off with the first movie. As you remember, we're actually during the production of it. This is actually way before Marvel actually made the movie themselves. I don't know if you remember. They were doing it with a different studio. And they actually had Nicolas Cage attached to play Iron Man. Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah, there was one point Nicolas Cage was attached to play Superman, Iron Man, and Ghost Rider.
Yeah, but I wouldn't put too much stock in a character or actor's like setup to be in a movie. Because if you go back and look back at all the people who were attached to be Han Solo,
yeah,
that's a long list of people.
I'm curious.
I couldn't name all the people right now, but there's a lot of movies. If you ever like go to maybe not Wikipedia, but go somewhere else, yeah, and kind of look for the people that they considered for the roles. You know, you'd be surprised.
I know they eventually, it just didn't happen for some reason. Nicolas Cage wasn't able to do it, or they wasn't able to get the movie made. But after he did Ghost Rider, they didn't go ahead with Iron Man. And then Iron Man, of course, went to Marvel Studios because they own the rights to it and shit. And they eventually made their own film. The casting of Robert Downey Jr. I mean, how you feel about that when you first heard it?
I thought it was perfect casting.
Doesn't it, right? It sounds perfect at the moment. Like, he just planned himself.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not at that time when they finally did get around to casting with Robert Downey Jr. But if you remember him from, like, the 90s.
Yeah.
He was kind of, like, sleeping with every woman, had a drinking problem.
Yeah.
We know that story about him breaking into someone's house and found asleep in some kid's bed.
Which is fucking weird.
So, it's like, I don't know, like, I guess... Coming from the comic books, you know, like Iron Man sleeps with everyone. He drinks all the time.
He does shit sometimes that's questionable.
Yeah. He called Ant-Man a wife beater on national TV.
Did he?
Yeah, you don't remember that?
No, I don't remember that. I remember,
it was during Avengers Disassembled.
Yeah, I don't remember that, I'll be honest.
He was all drunk. And he's like, get away from me, Hank. At least I don't beat my wife.
Jesus. Well, he was always a dick. I know at one point, actually during the time the first movie was going to be released, you were totally against Iron Man. Because it was because of Civil War. At that time, I didn't read Civil War until a little bit after Iron Man was already released. I started actually reading it. So I didn't know anything was going on with it. And to be honest, in fact, I wasn't even reading any comics at that time. I completely stopped reading comics for a while. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of negativity. Maybe other people felt the same way.
I mean, also, Iron Man, like, if you go back and read any of his comics, he doesn't have a long history of being a great character to read. Like, he fought people like Unicorn, which was a guy who shot a laser out of his forehead.
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck cares about this guy? Like,
I know it's one of the problems they had is finding actual good villains he can fight.
Like, his whole, like, I guess rogues gallery, to borrow a DC phrase.
Yeah.
Is all just dudes in suits.
Yeah.
Like, what's his name? The Russian guy?
That's Whiplash?
No.
Or Crimson Dynamo.
The Crimson Dynamo.
Yeah.
Like, there's Crimson Dynamo, fucking, the Ironmonger.
Yeah.
You know, it's all dudes in suits.
Yeah, the Mandarin is the only person that stands out.
Yeah, and then, like, if you kind of watch the cartoons and shit, they gave him other people, Grey Gargoyle and Whirlwind.
Yeah.
Who were not really hero-specific, they were just around.
Yeah, just for him to fight somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the casting was pretty decent at the time. Like, it was pretty good. And it got me interested in it. I was actually interested to see some kind of footage of it. And I remember the first trailer coming out. Well, actually, I remember the first Comic-Con trailer coming out. It was pirated and put online. And it was being spread before they shut it down. And then they actually did an official trailer that wasn't as good as the Comic-Con trailer. Because it cut a lot. They condensed a lot down. You know, just for time reasons, but it was amazing. Still an amazing trailer. And the movie just ended up being fun. The first movie. It was completely fun. I enjoyed it. I like the idea of, well, they already did it before, of course. You know, he's trying to fight against his own arms being used against America and in the hands of terrorists. But they pushed the war forward. Well, actually, was it even a war in the first one?
No, they were like, we were supposed to assume the Iraq War was going on.
Yeah.
But I don't think they said who we were fighting against.
Yeah, because didn't it originally happen in Vietnam?
I think so. If not even before that. Like,
yeah.
I want to say Vietnam, and then they kind of redid it again in the 90s, and it was like Desert Storm. And then they did it again and made it Iraq.
Yeah. I mean, if you really look at his comic book history, it's kind of weird. Because I remember there was one point, was there clones of Tony? Like a younger clone of him or something?
Yeah, and it turned out to be evil, and that was a pretty awful read, too. Yeah. And then somebody from the future came, and I don't know, it was dumb. Like I said, he doesn't have like a long history of good books.
Yeah, I remember at one point, well, for a long period of time, they simply claimed it was his bodyguard, who was Iron Man.
Well, yeah, that was in the beginning of the book's run.
Yeah.
But eventually they dropped all that, sort of like the movie. I feel like the movie was hard to fuck up because you were just telling the origin story.
Yeah, and it did a good job of doing it. And they did throw out the fact that he was Iron Man. Within that particular film, to get it out the way, which I thought was a good thing to do. So well, to struggle with the secret identity thing, and then he eventually lets everyone know.
In the comics, he hasn't struggled with a secret identity in years.
That's what I was saying, so I think it was kind of cool.
It's not like that's the wholly original for the movie. Everyone's known he's been Iron Man for like 30 years by the time the movie came around.
Yeah, what I'm saying is for the movie in itself, to not follow the opening, the original comic book run, and just try to do the whole bodyguard thing and all that. I think it was kind of cool they just threw it out the window immediately. Like, he's Iron Man. Yeah, and it fit the character. Like, why not let everyone know you're Iron Man and have fun with it? Just be arrogant. I feel Tony Stark of the film and even, you know, the comic book would just be fine with it.
I never assumed in the movie they would do the whole, Iron Man is Tony Stark's bodyguard thing. I just figured because it was going on in the comics,
yeah,
that everyone already knew, it would just be easier that everyone already knew.
Yeah, just to get it out the way and they could just push the story forward. Don't they change his voice when he's Iron Man in the first movie and never do it again in the rest of the films?
No, I think they just had sort of a robotic, like, coming out of speakers sound to it.
Yeah, because I remember they did have someone, they cast someone to do his voice in the first movie.
Did they?
Yeah, when he's in suit.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, they never did it again. So I think that was a way of saying he's trying to hide his secret identity. And then just threw the shit out the window at the very end of the movie.
When he's eating cheeseburgers. I feel like the problems with the first movie are everything that doesn't involve the origin story.
Like, what do you mean? Like, the long, drawn-out fight with Ironmonger?
It's not actually, really
that long. No, I think about it. It was really short, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because I remember later on, we compared it to the Incredible Hulk fight.
What?
Yeah. Remember we complained about the fight in Iron Man?
Oh, yeah.
Because on the Incredible Hulk fight, when the fight that came along was a far better fight.
I mean, it really was. Like almost everything not involving his origin.
Yeah.
Was just, I don't know, I could have done without. But then again, you probably wouldn't have had a movie. You needed a bad guy. And when they did bring in a bad guy, he wasn't that great, I guess you could say. And then they had Pepper defeat him with the fucking arc reactor.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, well, I guess Iron Man didn't do a lot, really.
He fought him. Fist fought him.
A little bit.
Yeah, for a brief moment. Yeah. It was kind of cool him getting knocked into a bus and all that. I mean, the fight alone was pretty cool for the small duration it happened.
Yeah.
And
Tom Morello was a terrorist.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah, a little bit out of his character. Or is it?
Well, Tom Morello should be more like Barack Obama, really.
Yeah.
Because he's got, what, like, West African father and a white mom.
Yeah.
And he moved to this country as, like, a young boy and lived out the American dream and all that shit. He might as well be Barack Obama.
Yeah. Only difference is, you know, he plays guitar. Well, who knows?
Yeah, maybe Barack does play guitar.
I think the first Iron Man really did open doors for multiple different kinds of comic book films coming out. I mean, we've already had comic book films coming out and they were hit and miss, or they were big hits, or whatever. But, I don't know, Iron Man was not a character that's very, very interesting in comic books. you got people who love Iron Man in comic books, but you know, it's not like, you know, I don't see any Iron Man tattoos and I didn't see any Iron Man tattoos and shit before the movie.
Maybe not at the time, no.
Yeah. I think they took a character that wasn't as popular and made him the main character, I guess, to everyone.
It's almost a shame that Iron Man became the main character in a way. Clearly they had the Avengers in mind.
Yeah.
Because they had the Sam Jackson reveal, which was so amazing at the time. Do you remember going to watch that?
Yeah.
And I hit the chair in front of us that had that white dude sitting in it. And I was like, just see that? Boom! Hit the chair. I was losing my mind for that.
I remember they said they were going to not really show the, you know, Samuel at the very end of it. But they were saying there was a rumor Samuel may play Nick Fury. And they were saying that all this is going to definitely lead up to the Avengers. But we didn't believe any of it.
No, it sounds like such bullshit, like, yeah. At the time. It's like, there's no way in hell you're going to get all these characters together. Like, it was, I guess, just thinking about it, it was such a gamble to get Iron Man off the ground to begin with.
Yeah, like, why would you try to use that to spring, why would you use Iron Man of all people to springboard the Avengers?
That's like saying, we're going to do a Justice League movie, and our first character, Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, it's like...
It's like, really?
That's what you're doing?
I mean, we have Batman and Superman sitting around. We could use those guys, yeah. But... No, I mean, it sort of makes sense. You want to get... Like, because the out of the big three... Cap, Iron Man, Thor...
Yeah.
Iron Man's probably...
The most relatable.
Yeah, well, the most, like, I guess, audience-friendly. Because he's a dude in a suit. Like, Cap, you kind of have to have a lot of backstory, as we saw in the movie.
Yeah.
And Thor is, who the fuck knows if that even would have worked out. Like, it didn't seem like Thor would work out at the time, either.
Yeah. And I actually I remember seeing Iron Man and saying to myself, they should totally make Captain America an introduction into Avengers. Like, he should just totally, like, he should be the main, he should be the person that we're seeing through their eyes of how everything's working.
And like,
that's what I said before. Like, I shouldn't even give him a movie. I didn't think they would.
If you were going to set up S.H.I.E.L.D. and set up the Avengers Initiative, like, Ultimate style, I'd feel like Iron Man probably wasn't the best way to go, because Cap could have been thought out by S.H.I.E.L.D. and he could have, like, set up this world where heroes and villains exist.
Yeah.
But I guess they were like, I mean, clearly they knew better than I did.
Yeah. They, I guess having the actual company behind it actually helps this franchise, because if it would have been someone else, like another company, instead of just being Marvel, if it would have been just a license, I guess, like they would have licensed their characters out.
Whoever, Sony.
Yes, let's say Sony bought out all the characters for the Avengers. They plan on making the Avengers movie. Who knows how it would have turned out?
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely, like, well, these days you can definitely tell that Marvel has, like, a hand in the way the movies go. They feel very much of the comics.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, like, even the storylines they go with, you can tell are from comic books and are closely related to them. So, that's why I feel like the first movie, like, was probably easier to do, because it had such a, like, guideline to follow as far as an origin story is concerned.
Yeah.
And usually origin stories are pretty easy to get off the ground.
Yeah, really, for me, I usually want to get past the origin and just get to the sequel. Because not only they have become who I know they will become eventually.
Yeah.
I get to see them do more stuff. Because most of the time, the origin is... You're waiting to see more of... You're waiting to see more of Batman. And you get a lot of Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Whereas they played it smart. And Tony Stark actually is Iron Man to a point that you could actually watch just Tony Stark doing stuff. It's no less Iron Man. I mean, he's just basically is a guy in a suit.
Yeah.
He's still that guy, regardless if he's in a suit or not. So,
that's a cool thing. As far as, like, marketing, I'm sure you got, like, plenty of kids who, oh man, I could put on a suit, or I want to buy the toy of, like, the arc reactor or the little, like, palm repulsor blast.
Yeah, a lot of Iron Man little costumes going out, a lot of toys and merchandise, like, video game, shitty video game. Iron Man was the first video game they pumped out before they did the shitty door.
Well, there's been plenty of comic book video games.
I'll talk about, like, movie-wise for the movies.
as far as Marvel, well, it was also Marvel's first movie, so
yeah,
of course it would be their first video game. Because yeah. Ang Lee's Hulk, that had a fucking game to it. The X-Men movies had a game.
Did Ang Lee's Hulk have a game?
Yeah.
I thought he had, like, the Incredible Hulk had a video game.
Well, he did before that, but Ang Lee's Hulk, remember you had to do a lot of sneaking around as
Bruce Banner. Oh, he totally did have a fucking video game that I cared not to play. Because it looked fucking boring. I heard a lot about it. I heard that it was a lot of sneaking around as Bruce Banner. He just didn't want to deal with that shit.
Yeah, the very first level is fucking sneaking around like a building as Bruce Banner. Who the hell wants to do that?
Yeah, I mean, like, hiding in the shadows like an asshole. You're the fucking Hulk. But I feel like Iron Man was very marketable. The way they filmed it and it just aligned perfectly. You know, after they got to play Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr., the way they marketed it, the way the movie was. It was just a fun movie. It really was a fun movie. It was funny. It's the kind of asshole character everyone likes to watch, but no one really likes in real life.
Oh man, I forgot what, like, the Shakespearean, like, word for it. Like, it's something like the, like, honorable asshole or some shit like that.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's like a dude who's so much of a douche, you love watching him be a douche.
Yeah, because I think in real life, if I was to meet a Tony Stark-like character, I wouldn't like him.
Like comic book Tony Stark or movie Tony Stark?
Movie Tony Stark. Comic book Tony Stark's a totally different story.
Comic book Tony Stark probably fuck your wife and
yeah,
all kinds of shit.
That's a totally different story. My favorite comic book Tony Stark storyline, or story thing that he did was he was about to fuck a broad, I forgot who she was, and she turned to a Skrull. He was still trying to fuck her anyway.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't change anything.
That sounds like him.
Yeah.
Or there was one where he was drunk and Black Widow was trying to convince him to do something and he was trying to fuck her. And she's all like, I'm the Black Widow, don't you remember me? And he's like, no, drink.
How long did
that? And then she was like, we've already slept together before, you still don't remember me? And he's like, nope, drink.
How long did Demon in the Bottle storyline go on for?
I think it was only about 6 issues. Like, it's not like a long-running series. Like,
because I know he was drinking for a while, but I guess it didn't become a problem fully 6 issues.
It was something like that. It's not as long as you would think it is. It's not like when Ed Brubaker took over Captain America, the whole Winter Soldier thing lasted about 25 issues.
Yeah.
So that's sort of a long run compared to what they were doing back then.
Yeah. All right, so the first movie, I enjoyed it. I think it drags close around the end when Ironmonger kidnaps Pepper Potts.
Or he tries to.
Tries to. Yeah, he doesn't take her away. He just tries to take her.
Yeah, he shows up at the, what do you call it? The, like, Stark Labs.
Yeah, so when all that happens, it feels like it kind of slows down a little for that moment. It feels like it kind of goes on longer than it needs to. The fight that they have, as Murray mentioned, wasn't satisfying.
I feel like it slows down a lot more when he gets back to America after being in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Or wherever, nondescript.
Yeah.
You know, Middle Eastern country.
Yeah.
And, like, there...
Anywhere Middle East, yeah, basically.
Any desert Middle Eastern town. Yeah. And we do kind of get the scene he goes back and destroys his weapons and shit like that. I guess we didn't talk about the original Rhodey.
Yeah. I remember they actually said that, can't think of his name. Mr. Hustle and Flow. Actually, wanted more money than Robert Downey is what they said.
I think he made more money than Robert Downey. Like, you also have to keep in mind around this time, Robert Downey Jr., not really the star he is now.
Yeah, I mean, he was a star for a while, but then with issues and problems and all that.
Yeah, rehabs and
whatever. And stuff. I mean, if you look at it, a few years before that, he was in A Scanner Darkly. He played a really good role in that, but, you know, it was unnoticed. A lot of stuff he was doing was totally unnoticed.
Like, it was definitely a while since he was nominated for an Oscar for Chaplin.
Yeah.
And shit like that. Like, he was never a bad actor. It was just, you know, people didn't want to take a chance because of his history with substance abuse and shit.
Yeah, which you can understand.
Yeah, it's understandable. But, like, it's funny now whenever we think of a movie were like, oh man, they should get Robert Downey Jr. to play this guy. Robert Downey Jr. should be that guy.
Yeah, Guy Ritchie got Robert Downey Jr. to play Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
He felt, even though he's not British, he could just do a British accent.
And we all loved it and shit. But it's like, yeah. At the time when Iron Man came out, it's like, are we really going to have Robert Downey Jr. be in a big movie? And
yeah, it was a big deal. And this idea of actually them making that decision, just imagine that. Like, okay, we're going to go with Robert Downey Jr. I can imagine someone in corporate being like, are you serious? We're fucking doing this?
I believe if you go back and read people's articles and shit online, they were like, they had exactly that.
Yeah.
Opinion. Like, are we really gonna, you know, throw all our money away on Robert Downey Jr. and shit?
Yeah.
And it's funny now, like, Oz the Great and Powerful came out, and they're like, they should have got Robert Downey Jr. to be this. And
yeah. Actually, really think about it. That's a serious fucking gamble. Alright, so Marvel Studios took aside some of their own profit to form their own studio to actually make their own films. And the first movie to go with is Iron Man, who's not really one of their biggest characters. And to get Robert Downey Jr. to play that character.
Yeah, it's quite the gamble.
I mean, it is, really. We really look at it.
And
this is the launch of a bunch of movies they're going to make in the future.
Yeah, which... And also, you have to think if any of those movies failed horribly.
Yeah.
Like, who knows if we ever would have gotten it. Like, if Cap would have came out and it just bombed. Yeah. You know, would they still have the same, like... I don't know, drive to put out Thor as well? Like, you know...
Well, Thor came... Well, Cap was the last movie, so Thor came out before Cap.
Oh, well, let's... Like, even if Iron Man failed, let's say they... Cause if they Iron spent, Man like, failed, 100 mil on it.
Because Iron Man came out first, and then it was a year before everything else came out.
Yeah.
So I think, like, if Iron Man would have bombed, I don't think nothing would have ever happened. Nothing would have came of it, I think, personally.
Was it a year? It was some time before Hulk came out, because that was next, right?
No, Iron Man and Hulk came out the same year. I'm sorry. It did happen.
I know they were sort of around each other. I mean, it could have been like a year. Who the hell knows, right?
Yeah, and then it was like maybe a year in between because I know Iron Man 2 came out around the time. Actually, Iron Man 2 came out and nothing happened after that.
Yeah, and then I think that's when they had Thor, Cap.
Yeah, so Iron Man would have bombed and the Incredible Hulk has to fight off a bomb already that has already happened. It had nothing to do with it.
A gamma bomb?
Yeah. Jesus, would it have happened at all?
I mean, who the hell knows? Like the Incredible Hulk didn't do great at the box office. It made all its money back. You know, it was reviewed pretty well.
Yeah.
But just word of mouth, like, people didn't want to go see it because they saw the Ang Lee Hulk.
Yeah.
And just, I guess people just didn't want to be fooled. They wanted to do, like, the Who song and not be fooled again.
Yeah.
And they were just like, ah, fuck it. Like, it made, what, like, 40 mil? On, like, a $30 million budget.
What it said was it made enough money where it can warrant a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
But Edward Norton had he had differences with the studio. So they couldn't get him back. So that's one thing. And they were like, just fuck it. You know, why make another one?
I mean, well, not only that. Like, it wasn't such a huge
hit. Yeah, success. It wasn't such a huge hit. So, like, if it wasn't such a huge hit, they could get the original star back as well. Why even go forward with it? Now,
another funny thing when you realize, like, the Avengers came out. And when after Avengers hit, everyone, oh man, the Hulk was great, and I want to see more Hulk and shit.
Yes, which is they're spawning it into a new movie for the Hulk, but I think it's perfect. I'm happy for the Hulk. I'm happy he came back. He bounced back. I really am. It was like a friend that hit rock bottom, went through some hard times, and he's trying to make that comeback, but nobody wants to let him come back.
Hulk won a smash hit at the box office.
I'm really happy for him. Finally made that comeback. See, the Hulk storyline is based in Robert Downey Jr.'s life.
All right.
I mean, if you look at it, like him falling on hard times. He was successful way back in the day, also known as, you know, the Incredible Hulk TV series. He was well known. Fell on hard times with Ang Lee. Got mixed with the wrong crowd. Tried to make a comeback. No one really gave a shit. Nobody really noticed his comeback, and then finally that big hit, that big chance. So yeah,
somebody took a chance on the Hulk.
Somebody took a chance on the Hulk. It paid off. I mean, why not have the Hulk just be a badass? I mean, he was an Incredible Hulk. He was amazing in that. I felt like it was a mixture of the TV show and the comic. I really enjoyed that. And then he just went balls out in, like, you know, the Avengers.
I mean, what the hell else are you gonna have the Hulk do? You're not gonna have him, like, in the Avengers fucking running around doing nothing and shit.
Yeah.
Trying to hold back stuff.
Yeah.
Like, his catchphrase, Hulk smash, doesn't... You know, you gotta have him punch shit. Like,
what the... Yeah.
He doesn't throw anything. He doesn't have laser beams. He's gonna have to punch something.
I like the fact he just punched whatever. It just threw whatever.
Yeah, picked it up, threw it. Picked up dudes, threw them into other dudes.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's gonna be a while before they have a Hulk movie.
Yeah, it is, but at least they're doing it. So that's a good thing.
I mean, you have to understand that everything's mapped out till 2015.
Yeah.
So, anything after that, then everything's sort of up for grabs.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're not going to expect a Hulk movie until past then, I guess.
Yeah. But, getting back into Iron Man, let's move on for the first one. But basically, the first one, great film. It was funny. It was entertaining. Great introduction to the Hulk. Not the Hulk, I'm sorry. Hulk's on my mind. Great introduction to Iron Man. Great setup for the Avengers, the very beginning of it, to let you know this shit is actually happening. It was just a fun movie. It was a great movie. And it actually set the path for other movies in the future. And it actually brought in a lot of fan base to support those movies in the future. Because regardless if you didn't see Thor, you didn't see Captain America, or you didn't give the Incredible Hulk his fair shake, you did go see the Avengers because you love Iron Man.
And I'm sure when we talk about Avengers, we'll get more into that.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. It's a great way to start everything off. And then we get Iron Man 2, which I thought was kind of funny, because they originally were going to do certain movies. We did a certain time period, and then they went straight to Iron Man 2 instead. I guess because the first one made so much money, like, why not capitalize on it?
Yeah.
So Iron Man 2, it didn't feel like it was really part of... Like, it felt like it was a plan that they threw out the last minute. It wasn't part of the big plan. It's more of, why not make more money on it? And that money goes towards Avengers anyway, so why not?
I remember at the time people made a big deal about this just feels like a tie-in to the Avengers.
It did.
Because, you know, Black Widow shows up for no reason and Nick Fury shows up for whatever reason.
Well, he's trying to tell Tony to get his shit together, but then Tony's just kind of doing whatever. They're doing a Demon in the Bottle storyline without having him to drink and stuff.
Well, they did it super poorly, I remember.
Yeah, they did. And Whiplash, which is basically Chrisom Dynamo mixed up with Whiplash.
Not oh, by really. The way,
well, that's what they said they intentionally did. They actually tried to mix them together.
It doesn't really feel like the two mixed together, though.
They wanted to mix two characters together to make like a character that stood out a little more. That's why he's rushing and stuff. But he's still called Whiplash and has some of the same mannerism and he's in a fucking suit. They mixed two characters together to make Whiplash for the movie.
I mean, sure, maybe, but as far as the comic books are concerned,
yeah,
they don't really feel... He doesn't feel like Whiplash and the Crimson Dynamo put together.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically made for the movie.
Pretty much.
But yeah, so they put them together, they call him Whiplash, but they basically based him upon Crimson Dynamo and based him upon Whiplash, those two characters. They just took elements they liked about them and then put them together. Also, in part one, there's the jet scene. One of the jets is named Whiplash. Or one of the guys that's the code name you use or whatever.
Really? Yeah. Was the other one Whirlwind?
I have no idea.
That would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, so I thought it was kind of a cool thing they did for part one. But going back to part two, because that's where we're at. The whole storyline they had going on with him was more of an event story. It was pretty cool. I remember seeing the trailers. I was really excited about it. I thought he wasn't going to wear a suit. I thought he was just going to be shirtless dude. So I thought it was going to be really cool. But, you know, eventually he did wear a suit. And it was a shorter fight. A shorter fight than the first one.
Yeah, and at least, I almost want to say a worse fight than the first one.
It basically was.
They set up to be, like, this really big, kind of epic fight that was just over in a matter of, like, seconds.
Yeah.
And then even Whiplash, when he does die, it's sort of like, oh, shoot a bomb at him, and he's dead, so let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, Bane beats up Batman, breaks his back, and then Batman just two-piece him.
Yeah.
He later on in the movie.
Punches the hose out of his face.
Yeah.
Even though I could have sworn Batman punched him in the face before, but whatever. Maybe he didn't know specifically to punch for the tube.
Some detective, right?
World's greatest detective, my ass.
Where's the Joker? Figure it out, motherfucker.
I remember when I was at the movie theaters to watch The Dark Knight Rises. The scene where he has Bane and he's like, "Where's the bomb?"
Yeah.
The whole audience just laughed. Like, people were there, and Batman, like, shirts and cowls and shit.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was the audience for the movie. But even they couldn't help but fucking laugh at the stupid voice.
I think he played up the voice with part two for The Dark Knight, and then Christopher Nolan was like, okay, Christian, they're making fun of you. Just tone it down. But for the third one, that's really... Because, no, there he is kind of toned down back to the first one, sort of.
He uses the Batman voice around people who know he's Batman.
Yeah.
That's fucking dumb. Like,
well, Batman does it in the comic book. If you remember, he's hanging out with Nightwing. He's like, Alfred's been kidnapped. Bruce Wayne's looking for him. And all this other stuff. And like, he's like...
What? When was that?
Yeah, it was in the Death of the Family storyline. Where the Joker kidnaps Alfred.
Are you talking about recently?
Yeah, recently.
I don't remember that. Yeah. I don't think we're supposed to infer he's using Batman voice on him, though.
Yeah, he does that. Also, even to go even deeper than that. Well, he's using a Batman voice. It kind of says that he's referring to... You could assume he's using a Batman voice because he's referring to Alfred as Bruce Wayne's butler and all this other stuff. To Nightwing, who clearly knows who the fuck he is. And Nightwing does eventually call him out, saying, like, you know, stop the whole charade. This is Alfred we're talking about, Bruce. And, you know, he lets him know that you can't just be Batman all the fucking time and just cut yourself off of the real world.
It's like my cousin who has the Batman tattoo on his chest.
Yeah.
One of his favorite go-to things from one of the animated series or Beyond. I think it was Beyond.
Yeah.
Where they take Bruce and they have him, like, in, like, a torture cell or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to bring up. Another thing. But you go, I'll go ahead and let
and,
you finish
it. You know, they were like, oh, Bruce Wayne's going crazy.
Yeah.
And all this shit, and like, admit you're Batman. And then Terry McGinnis is all like, well, how do you know you weren't going crazy? And he's like, because in my head, they kept calling me Bruce.
Yeah.
And I never call myself Bruce.
Yeah, so I figured in the movie, he would talk with Batman voice all the time.
Swear to me. Because you were the best of all of them. Oh, fuck out of here, Batman.
Every once in a while, I can throw out, love that Joker.
Yeah.
Oh, he was using Brand X.
Ooh, we got a live one here.
All right, anyway. Iron Man. Black yo, that little banter we just had was actually green. More interesting than Iron Man 2 to me.
The furious thing you've ever seen. Cool.
Because Iron Man 2 was...
Let me know if you want about it. You don't remember the fucking Prince song?
I'm trying to move it on. We're talking about Batman too much, especially considering the fact you hate him.
I do hate Batman, but I guess that'll be a show for another day.
Yeah, the Batman hate pot.
Yes.
Cast.
Hate man.
Hate man podcast. But, yeah, I didn't hate part two, but I've only seen it once. I went to see it on opening day and I've never seen it again.
Why?
I saw it, like, on TV, I guess, like, you know, premium channels and shit. I saw like pieces of it on stuff. I said, didn't have a desire to watch it. I feel like the build up to it at the very end just really killed it for me. Not saying it's a bad movie. It's pretty good. The end is kind of questionable. I think they're just hanging out at the end of the movie. It just ends.
I don't even remember how it ends, to be honest.
I think he's sitting down with it in a chair with someone, probably Rhodey or something, and it just ends. Who's played by Don Cheadle now. I can remember one Rhodey's name, not the other one. For some reason. Terrence Howard?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah. So now I know. Not going to be professional. Terrence Howard's the first one. He got Don Cheadle this time because he's cheaper.
I don't know. I like Don Cheadle more. Like, in other movies,
yeah.
I would say I'm a bigger Don Cheadle fan than I am Terrence Howard.
I'm a bigger Don Cheadle fan as well, but I feel like Terrence Howard looks more like Rhodey from the comic, or at least from the cartoon.
Yeah, but the cartoon, like, it's one of those where Rhodey's not such... staple character that he maintains a look. Yeah. I mean, even I, like, Tony Stark is sort of nondescript white guy with goatee.
Yeah.
Like, later on, they drew him to look more like Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, because now they have a guy to base upon.
Yeah, which is, I guess, another thing I wanted to bring up with the first movie.
Yeah.
That I forgot to, was the first movie came out, was a big hit, and the comics wanted to reflect the movie so that they can bring in, like, a better audience.
Yeah.
And... At the time,
he was head of S.H.I.E.L.D., wasn't he?
I think he was the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. at the time.
Yeah, so now you got Robert Downey Jr. as head of S.H.I.E.L.D. Well, based on what they're doing, the way he looks and all. I remember that.
Well, not only that, but they wanted to make Pepper, like, more of his love interest because of the movies. And if you've been reading the comic books, it was always sort of like a Bond Money Penny relationship they had.
Yeah.
And to have them suddenly be an item and, like, I don't know, in love the way the movies make it seem, it's like, it's not really the Iron Man I want.
It takes away a lot because, you know, he is a womanizer and that's who he is. It doesn't change. So.
Yeah, like in the movie where he's like billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
Yeah.
In Avengers, it's like, you're not a playboy. You've been with the same woman for like the past 5-6 years now.
Well, he has been sleeping around, and they don't really say that he's actually with Pepper until the Avengers actually say they're together and shit.
No, I think it's before that.
Well, he bangs somebody in the first movie. He takes a reporting home and fucks her.
Yeah, but that's before fucking the movie kicked in, and you see, like, oh, he's supposed to be with Pepper, and oh, Pepper's a big deal.
It seems like he wants to get with her. It seems totally opposite, like, she's not really interested in him because she knows how he is. And he wants to get rid of her. And then over time, it kind of happens. Because I don't remember at any point, them reaching that point in Iron Man 2 where they were, like, together. I remember they had something going on where you could see.
You don't remember the kiss in the helmet scene that was deleted? And
yeah, but I guess so. It's fucking deleted.
Him turning over the company to her in part 2 and buying her strawberries and all this other shit that he did.
Well, that's because he loved her. Because they set up ahead of time that he cared about her. That's the only, like, consistent woman in his life. So I can understand him doing that shit, but it never felt like she returned it as much.
You should probably go back and watch it.
Yeah, I mean, it never did. I remember that. It felt like she wasn't being cold. You could tell she cared about her in part two, but it felt like, if I feel like it was a big gap. Like, part one and part two. Part one, he's in love with her. And, you know, she's happy that he is and shit. But part two, to get closer because of the shit they went through in part one. And then part, not even part three, we're not talking about that yet, but the Avengers, they're just together. Like, you don't really, I don't think you really see where they actually start a relationship, is what I'm trying to say.
Like I said, go back and watch Iron Man 2 again.
Yeah, I'll go back and watch it.
Tell me.
Yeah, I could be wrong.
Because I feel like you don't remember a lot of what Iron Man 2 was mostly about.
I've only seen it once, so it has been a long, long time. I haven't really had a desire to see it again.
But, like, the comic wanted to reflect this relationship that was around. And it's like, I don't know, that just wasn't the Iron Man that I liked. They also made the, like, face kind of, like, infrared Jarvis thing that was going on with the movie.
Yeah.
In the comic book, fucking Jarvis was an old British man. He was, like, Alfred.
Yeah.
Who hung out at Avengers Mansion, you know, taking care of shit. And in the movie, they made him a computer, which, pretty good idea. I mean, like, if you're gonna have a Jarvis, why the hell not, right?
Yeah, like he could build one, and then, also to give him away from Batman, I think, as well.
Yeah. But, that sort of interface we see, that's sort of an easy way to film around Robert Downey Jr.'s schedule.
Yeah.
That started to be reflected more in, like, comics and definitely the cartoons.
Yeah.
You know, like Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, like, it'll lead to my, for the worse, I feel like Iron Man did for the Avengers movie.
Yeah.
When we finally get there.
Well, I'm not going to spend too much time on Iron Man 2 because clearly I don't remember everything in it. But I do remember it was a revenge story and I remember how it played out. I remember he was dealing with Demon in the Bottle storyline, but
not really.
Not really, because I want to have an alcoholic superhero. Especially into the Avengers, because I want to keep him likable.
I think even still, like, if you take away his personal, like, Demon in the Bottle story.
Yeah.
Like, what are you left with? Basically his love story with Pepper, and then this guy wants revenge.
Yeah, so basically, it was just kind of a cash-in on what they did with the first movie. And it could have been fleshed out a little better. And it was also marketing for the Avengers, because it felt like it was a lot of Avengers setting up in it.
I feel like that movie is not as bad as people, like, remember it.
I don't think it's shit. I didn't want to go back to watch it, just to give it a fair shake, but I have to say, it's probably my least favorite out of the trilogy of just Iron Man.
Yeah, I would say so, but that has to do with the writing. Like,
yeah, it's nothing to do with the actual movie, the way it's filmed. It's a fun movie, and I think that the director had stuff forced upon him he didn't want to deal with.
I almost feel like that's bullshit to call, though, because, like, the Thor and Cap both had shit forced upon them, like the goddamn cosmic cube was forced into Cap. You know, there was things about Avengers and shit forced into Thor that they handled well enough to where it didn't seem like such a commercial.
Yeah, it just depends on how you handle it. So I don't think Jon Favreau wanted to handle it the way they wanted to, or he just didn't know how to handle it, and it came off very. I don't know. I mean, even it being like kind of a 2-hour Shield commercial or trailer was fine, but it just something seems off about the movie.
I mean, also, like, it doesn't help that they got really good bad guys.
Yeah.
And they don't let them do anything. Like, Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
As, what was the name of his character?
But he was his rival.
Yeah, what's his name?
I can't think of his name, but yeah, but he was his rival.
But anyways, I fucking love Sam Rockwell in a lot of movies. Yeah. And he didn't get to do, like, almost anything. He got to kind of stand around, be the anti-Tony Stark.
Yeah.
But that was it. Like, at the end where he presents his presentation, he just sort of walks his back behind a curtain and Pepper's there with, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. And they're like, you're under arrest. And then that's it.
Yeah, I do feel like if they wouldn't have went with Whiplash just simply staying in the first suit he had, which is just homemade shit, you know, and not getting, like, more money and more technology to build him a full-blown suit not to even use at the very end of the movie, I think it would have been better.
I feel like you're going to run into the problem of a man in an iron suit punching a regular dude. I feel like him putting him in a suit with the fucking whips would have been fine. But it comes down to, once again, he didn't do anything. He didn't fight them.
Yeah.
So
I think it's his presence there more without the suits, like where I want it.
He definitely does look cooler. You could see the weird cap teeth he has and the tattoos. And
yeah,
shit.
That's what I thought it was, just the presence. Like, I know it's a dude. Because I had no idea when I first saw the trailer how they were going to even pull it off. A guy in a regular, you know, regular clothes and shit fighting a dude in full-blown armor. I just didn't know how it was going to happen, but
a dude with full-blown AIDS?
Full-blown AIDS. Yeah, AIDS. Not just any AIDS, but full-blown AIDS.
Like, what's his name? Taken? Liam Neeson?
Yeah.
I have AIDS.
But yeah, so anyway,
I mean, also what's funny is, like, Mickey Rourke's story in coming into Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
Strangely mirrored Robert Downey Jr.'s story coming into, like, Iron Man 1. Like, Mickey Rourke, before The Wrestler, was, like, this guy who kind of washed out of Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, and people didn't want to put him in anything. You know, he's in The Wrestler, and suddenly he's, oh, man, this hot commodity.
Yeah.
And we're going to get Mickey Rourke to be in this. And
yeah, and even so, The Wrestler wasn't even originally thought of as the main person that wanted to play the character. It was Nick Cage, if you remember.
He wasn't in the final film, so who gives a shit?
No, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, if you really think about it, it's just pure luck that he ended up getting a role like this. I mean, at a moment, you know, I guess like not the lowest of his career, but no one was really giving him a shot at anything.
Like, he had been doing shit like, what was that Stallone movie?
The Expendables?
No, before that.
Because that happened afterwards. I don't know what else he's done.
You remember where he goes to that party? And he gets
He beats the shit out of it. No, he did Get Carter. That's what it was.
Yeah, there you go.
I love that movie because Stallone goes in all badass trying to fight him and talk shit. And he just gets his ass whooped.
Yeah, well, Carter's a regular dude.
Well, Mickey Rourke's a regular guy. He beats the fuck out of him. He also fought Van Damme in Double Team.
Yeah, but like his career was...
Lion there and shit. Well, Tiger was there.
His career was sort of that way. He was like, you know, a bit guy in movies.
Yeah, basically.
He wasn't, like, seen as kind of a standout guy. And kind of now, he's not really in a lot of things either.
Yeah, he did. He played Marv in Sin City, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be in part two, which they're gearing up to make.
I think they're already done filming, ain't they?
They're already done filming?
Yeah, doesn't it come out this year?
I've only seen, like, pictures of production. So I don't know if they were actually going into it yet, or they were already done. But I knew it was happening.
I could have sworn it comes out this year.
It probably does come out this year.
But it was like that. Like, nobody made a big deal Mickey Rourke was in Sin City. He was just sort of a dude who was in movies.
Yeah.
Kind of washed into the background. And, you know, The Wrestler comes around, and all of a sudden it's going to be a big deal. Everyone's excited to see Mickey Rourke once again.
So we already mentioned Don Cheadle playing Rhodey. And that actually gave him more stuff to do this time. He actually went with the War Machine.
Armor.
Armor and all. So that was pretty cool they did that. And the fact that the government wants to have control over Tony's weapons, which is pretty cool, which would actually happen too. If a private company who manufactures for the United States of America's military were to make a a weapon like this and just not fucking give it to the United States, they're going to want control over it.
I mean, it does kind of, in the movie, it feels like a dick move that Rhodey takes the armor and just flies off with it.
Yeah.
But, again, I think it's more of the writing. They weren't sure what they were going to do with Don Cheadle. They didn't know if he would stick around. They probably didn't know if he would be in Avengers or not.
Yeah.
So, it was sort of like, let's kind of handle this with kid gloves.
Yeah. Well, it is true. Like, he is torn between two worlds. His personal relationship with Tony Stark, who's his best friend, and then he's in the military.
Yeah, he's so, a colonel.
And they're like, look, you're friends with him, you need to talk to him. So of course they're gonna put power, they're gonna put like pressure on him to use some of that power to get the Iron Man technology into the military.
Yeah. And I guess when we get into 3, I have more questions about it.
Yeah.
Than I would.
I think a lot of stuff that's in Iron Man 2 was great. It just wasn't fleshed out enough. The movie feels like it wasn't fleshed out enough. And it was just rushed at the end.
Like the Black Widow?
Yeah, because all that spinning around shit, I don't think she does much of that in The Avengers.
She sort of does, but she felt more like a fucking luchador.
Yeah.
In the movie than anything. And you really didn't get a sense of, like, she's any kind of a spy.
Yeah.
She sort of just showed up, was like someone to look at, and then later on did something.
Gratuitous ass shots in that movie. If you know what it was.
Like in the Avengers, that picture, behold, brother, dead ass.
Basically, yeah.
Did you ever see that where Loki and Thor
like actually, they're like dressed up in their outfits, but still looking at her ass in real life?
Yeah.
I also see the same picture, but it was like Thor said, I'll hammer that. Which is not as funny.
Eh. I think it's alright. Especially the way some people characterize Thor as like, you know, like crazy ex-boyfriend. Not crazy ex-boyfriend, but like douchey boyfriend, yeah. Thor. Or he's like, hey, Thor never saw this picture of your sister before. She's really pretty. Look, Thor call you, alright?
I saw like, I forgot what band. It was like Killswitch Engage or some shit. That little meme with them. It's like Thor holding up the CD. He's like, this CD is good. Another. He throws it down.
That's pretty good. But it's like Scarlett Johansson, her character felt kind of forced in there too. And, I don't know, like it does feel very much like sort of a setup for the Avengers. But at the same time, for what it is, it's not terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's not terrible. Scarlett Johansson's just in it. And like you said, and I think if you would have took out the movie, it would have not hurt the movie. I don't think it hurt or helped the movie at all.
No, it was sort of a setup for when she shows up in Avengers.
You also think it's just eye candy considering the fact that Pepper Potts is it...
Like a 50-year-old woman? Not according to, what is it, People or whatever, who named her like the sexiest woman on Earth?
Bullshit.
That's what I said.
They also said that Angelina Jolie was the sexiest she's ever been. She got all super skinny like Skeletor for Wanted.
Yeah, no, I'll be alright.
So, you know... They don't have their shit together.
No. We'll get into that some other day.
A bras, we don't think it's hot.
I mean, not that.
We're told they are.
The like, kind of like, you know, what people are trying to push as like attractive to us. Yeah. Like the idea that Kim Kardashian is such a thing, but for some reason everyone's like, no, I have to be super skinny. But everyone, like at the time during the sex tape and even afterwards, would bring up Kim Kardashian. It's like... Clearly, she has tits and ass the way women are supposed to.
Yeah, she's thick, as she was in a Tyler Perry film to be reviewed, and I regret ever seeing. But, yeah, it's like, people know what's sexy, and they like what they think is sexy, but we're constantly being told what's sexy. But, you know, I guess it's their way of controlling media and controlling the way they marketed stuff and what they're trying to sell to us.
Mm-hmm.
But that's totally different. But basically Iron Man too.
So Jim's talking about Jews run the media.
Jews run the media.
I didn't cut that out. But
No, it's happening. It's fucking happening.
About you thinking that?
No. Anyway, Iron Man 2. Let's move on from that. Decent film. It doesn't suck. It's not a bad film. I never felt it was a bad film. I was kind of disappointed because I wanted bigger and better.
Yeah, which, and the trailer happens. The trailer definitely suggested bigger and better.
Yeah, it was more of a letdown of what it could have been versus like what it is. So I don't think it's a horrible movie. I just never watched it again because it's just not my favorite. Out of all the Marvel films they release, it's my least favorite.
Yeah, I can agree to that.
So that's why I never revisited it, because I'm like, why should I? You know, I can watch Thor instead.
Yeah,
I can watch Captain America. I can watch The Incredible Hulk again, which I did a lot. So
yeah, I mean, I watch it probably once a year. So
yeah, so it's like, you know, why go back to Iron Man 2? Out of all things I could go to, but I did want to watch it again for this show. I just didn't get a chance to get around to it. But it kept Iron Man strong.
It did. Like, got to keep Iron Man strong.
Yeah, for the crowd and all. So it still sold the merchandise. It still kept everything going. Kind of set up a little bit more for the Avengers.
You got to give him a big pop whenever he shows up.
Yeah, the SmackDown pop. This show's about comic books, movies, and wrestling. Just let everyone know. I mean, it used to be comic books, movies, and everything nerdy. Now it's comic books, movies, wrestling, and everything's nerdy.
I mean, we can get into it some other day, but I feel like wrestling is just as nerdy as anything.
Yeah, it really is.
But, so, Iron Man 2 came out. It was a thing.
Yeah.
You know, crowds were sort of still into it. It did make a lot of money.
It did make a lot of money. Like, you could just push on anything with Iron Man at that point. Because it pushed on another shitty video game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this time you got to play as War Machine, but who gives a shit? Because it was the exact same character.
Yeah.
It was like a fucking palette swap. It was like...
different skin.
Yeah, it wasn't even the difference between Sub-Zero and Scorpion. At least they have different moves.
Yeah.
But then we got the Avengers. And I remember not liking sort of what I heard about coming into the Avengers. And it had nothing to do with the film in general.
Yeah.
And it had everything to do with the crowd and the audience.
Yeah.
Of, I heard nothing but... you know, I don't know about this film, but if it gives me more Iron Man, then I'll go see it. It was sort of like everybody wanted it to be Iron Man and Friends.
Yeah, basically what it would have been. And I think the reason why they put so much into Captain America, they really try to flesh it out. Because just like I did, how I felt that Captain America should totally just be introduced in the Avengers, especially in the post-9/11 world. Where,
Well, no, because it would have taken up too much time in the Avengers. To do Cap.
Yeah, it would have, but that's my thinking at the time, because I thought it would be a lot easier to introduce him, because you know, America's not as welcome around the world as we would like to be. And
well, when the movie came out, they advertised it as the first Avenger.
Yeah.
In other countries, and they were like, no, we like Captain America, go ahead and call it Captain America. And
yeah,
it was only called the first Avenger in I think like two places.
Yeah.
So like, you know, who gives a shit?
Yeah, so basically, like, I just didn't really see it happening. And the storyline is pretty good and it's interesting. But I didn't think anyone would buy it, to be honest. I didn't think anyone would be interested in it. I had no idea how it's going to turn out. I got the director of The Rocketeer doing it, which seems...
that's perfect.
Perfect, but, you know, you have no idea how it's going to turn out or...
I think that Captain America movie is probably one of the better ones.
It is, but I felt like it was going to be another Incredible Hulk situation.
And people just wouldn't pay attention.
Yeah, so that's what I thought it would be. But, you know, it really did work out. It really did work out. So I thought it was going to be that way. So, like, since it wasn't, and it was going into Iron Man, I knew that they felt like they needed to flesh out Captain America a little more to make it, this is the reason why he's the leader of the Avengers.
I still feel like even in the Avengers movie, he's not given enough to do to show why he is the leader.
Yeah, even Avengers. Like, I feel like they put more into his own movie to show why he's the leader of Avengers than him actually being in Avengers.
I mean, yeah, I feel like if we ever do an Avengers thing specifically, we can bring all that up one day. But like I was saying, I didn't like the idea that everyone was just like, I just want to see Iron Man and Friends.
Yeah.
You know, give me Iron Man, and if other shit happens, that's cool too.
Yeah, because I don't want another Iron Man movie. I want the Avengers.
Yeah, I already had two.
Yeah, that's two more. That's one more than everyone else, right?
Yeah. And sure, people will complain, like, oh, but the second one was an Avengers film and shit. But it's still one more than everybody else got.
Yeah.
Other than, like, the Hulk, but that first one doesn't count.
It totally does not count.
But,
not even the Captain America old school one, if you remember that one. From way back, the 1990s Captain America.
With the plastic ears.
Yeah.
But,
Or even the television show he's riding a motorcycle and shit.
Yeah, with the see-through shields.
Yeah. No, that counts. I mean, we're just saying.
Do you remember when he picked up the motorcycle and threw it over a wall?
Yeah. If we're going old school, might as well throw out Thor fighting the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah. Or the Incredible Hulk fighting Daredevil.
Yeah, that was... it was just Ninja Dude.
Yeah. That was also suck.
Yeah, it was.
But, I don't know. I just didn't want to see it. And I remember, like, Robert Downey Jr. There was even stories that Robert Downey Jr. went to Joss Whedon and was like, look, just put me on screen. People will watch it and all that shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had to... Well, he didn't have to tell him, but he kind of was like, well, I had the idea for this.
Yeah.
And Robert Downey Jr. was sort of like, well, I see... I can see how it would be a bigger deal if we had everyone else in there, too.
Yeah.
And it's like, coming away from Avengers, I don't really... I did get the feeling they put a lot of emphasis on Iron Man because he was, you know, the money draw for the other two movies.
He even gets dialogue with Loki before everything goes to hell.
Yeah, he gets, I would say, out of all the Avengers in total, he probably gets the most screen time.
Yeah, he does. He's almost in every scene. Like, maybe I'm over-exaggerating. I mean, they do get other scenes where everyone else has their own stuff to do. They flesh out everyone pretty well. But once they're fighting together, he's almost in every scene. There's never, like, where is Iron Man?
Yeah, he's flying around somewhere.
Yeah.
And I guess comparatively, because of the other two movies, he really didn't get to, like, shine for, you know, what they let him do.
Yeah.
So in the Avengers, when you do see him flying around and, like, blasting dudes out of the sky.
Yeah.
It is pretty awesome. But you just knew at the end Iron Man's gonna have to save the day and shit. And
yeah.
Here we go with this bullshit.
And Joss Whedon being a feminist... decided to, like, take Black Widow and make her more of a actual character instead of just ass shaking in your face, like they did with Iron Man 2. And because of that, I feel like a lot of things she did, because he wants to make her a stronger character, could have went to Captain America to do.
I mean, you also have to keep in mind, I mean, this isn't Avengers talk.
Yeah. But I'm talking about this, like, in general, like, we're talking too much about Avengers, but basically Iron Man in the movie... they have to have him do the big thing at the end of the movie to save the day. They have to make him more prominent in it. And it's pretty cool that they have him fly in the air and blast and stuff out there, because you couldn't really do that with the other movies, because they didn't have much to fight.
Yeah. And they probably spent all their budget doing other shit.
Yeah.
So, you know, this time we do finally get to see him, I don't know, cut loose and just do shit.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, like, maybe because I felt like the other characters didn't get enough to do in their own movies.
Yeah.
I did want to see more Thor. I did want to see more Cap.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely wanted to see Cap yell Avengers Assemble and have everyone, like, listen to him. But I guess we're supposed to infer, because Iron Man was like, well, call it Cap. What do we do? Like, that's supposed to be like, oh, well, now he's the main guy.
Yeah.
But in the movie, you don't get a sense that Cap's the main guy. When he fights Loki, like, toe-to-toe.
Yeah, he's holding his own to be a regular guy. And then, like, fucking Iron Man shows up and shuts the whole thing down.
Yeah, he just kind of points guns at him.
With his own soundtrack, you know, by the way. His own, like, PA system and everything built in.
Which is fun. That's kind of how you want to make an entrance.
Yeah.
But I would have liked to see Cap get in, like, a moment where you'll see that he's outmatched because he's fighting a god, but he's just not going to give up.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, like, I kind of... felt it was a little too Iron Man and Friends.
Yeah.
But it's sort of understandable, because people are going just to see Iron Man.
Hawkeye was amazing. I want him to get his own movie, especially considering the fact that the book is actually selling.
Well, the book's really good. I don't know if you're reading
it. I've read the book. It's pretty good. So, like, I would like to film him get his own movie as well. So, but
I would like it just to be that book where he's fighting, like...
he's like, this is what I'm not doing. This is what I'm doing when I'm not with the Avengers, basically.
Yeah, fighting, like, Russian dudes in tracksuits who call each other bro and shit.
Yeah, like, it's...
Get out of my way, bro.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool, but... So Iron Man... It was a big draw for the Avengers. The Avengers is amazing. But I think the Hulk eventually did steal the show.
But, and I'm glad the Hulk stole the show. Yeah. Because then, now when they do another movie... He won't be, like, pushed to the background... The way he was in sort of the build-up to Avengers.
Didn't the Avengers end with Iron Man flying off? No. That last scene you see here... Or they visit Stark Tower or something like that. It's the last thing you see.
Yeah, the last thing you see is him and Pepper.
Yeah.
Like, doing shit in Stark Tower. And it's only the A is the lit.
Yeah, so it's still selling Iron Man as the main character of this, even if he's not the leader of the group. I don't know if that was, like, a decision that Joss Whedon made because he knew the studio would be happy with it, or they forced it on him. Or...
It could have just been, like, a holdover from Iron Man and Friends.
Yeah.
Script. But who knows? Now we got Iron Man 3 to talk about.
Okay, so now we're going to actually do our review of Iron Man 3, which we just saw. And it deals with the fact that he went to space and he had like he has post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm not going to spoil the movie. I'm not going to go too far into it. I was going to mention what...
Does he, though?
Well, that's what they say. That's what they kind of go towards. He's not sleeping. He's having issues and stuff. But it feels like that's kind of abandoned.
It really does. It feels like the marketing wants you to think that because he went to space was a big deal.
Yeah, and then they just drop that and just move on. The extremist program they have going on, which is what the movie is based upon, slightly different from the comic book. I can't complain about that. I can't be a comic book nerd. And I can't just hold that against them. But what they're doing in the movie is pretty cool as well. But, no, just like I said, no spoilers or anything. But I feel that the movie kind of gets like... It's kind of mixed up a little.
I feel like the movie doesn't know what it wants to be.
Yeah.
Like, it is like probably maybe the best Iron Man movie of the three, I want to say, so? Almost.
I know it's better than Part 2. I'm iffy if it's better than Part 3. Part 1, I'm sorry. I'm iffy if it's better than Part 1 because I feel like, yeah, we get a man in a suit in Part 1. And I like the fact that we don't have a man in a suit in Part 3, but it's like they don't have a straight direction in what they're trying to do.
I feel like Part 1 has a better story, like, but it's the origin story.
Yeah, so it's kind of hard to mess it up. But as a story that's totally different, and as a sequel, is probably the most they've really spent on developing Tony Stark.
Because, like, I think all the action you wanted from Iron Man 1 and 2 is in 3. He definitely does a lot more than any other one.
Yeah, and then it's really a lot of Tony doing stuff as well, in and outside of the suit. So that's pretty cool.
You know, for better or worse, I guess.
Yeah.
And
strong villains to a certain point.
I mean, maybe physically strong villains. I would say the motivations are sort of hit and miss. Maybe within the first half of the movie, when you sort of get to see more of the Mandarin,
it's really, really entertaining.
Yeah, he is like, I think he is a very strong character.
Yeah, he is a very strong character. I don't want to compare him to the Joker. I compare him to what he is, a terrorist. I see him as a more extreme Osama.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, like...
I'm not going to get into all, like, my feelings of that, but...
No, I'm just saying, he is. He's very extreme, and...
Would you say he's an extremist?
Extremist, oh! But it's a very interesting, like, take on the Mandarin. I really did enjoy it, but then, not spoiling anything, what they do with him...
I don't know if you want to put that in there.
Well, I can't really say what I want to say because, you know, no spoilers, but I end up not liking him. I didn't end up not liking what happens. So, just try to keep it vague. I enjoyed the first half with him. I enjoyed the presence he had. I enjoyed everything they did with him, but in the end, there's stuff I didn't like.
And it almost feels like they know that the Mandarin's a big deal to the comic book Iron Man. But they had no idea whatsoever
how to do with him. Yeah. So they feel the need to have him in there, but they didn't know what to really do with him.
Yeah. It's like, we know he has 10 rings, which, after watching this movie, the 10 rings thing is in the first Iron Man.
Yeah. It doesn't really feel like that much linked together, does it?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like the idea that they presented in Iron Man 3 connects with Iron Man 1 at all.
Yeah. I mean, it would be cool if it were like, well, this is the terrorist group that was in Iron Man 1. Basically like Batman Begins and Dark Knight Rises. Kind of like this, it links back to Iron Man 1, but it didn't do it. It's like, it feels like these movies are just there to make money and not try to tell the overall story or try to connect with each other or try to like be shocking or have any kind of connection at all. It's just Iron Man 1, 2, and 3. This is what he's doing when he's not with the Avengers.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like a... I don't know. Maybe it's you're supposed to get the idea of, like, reading a comic book.
Yeah.
Like, he fought this guy for X amount of time. Now he's moving on. It's a new year. He's going to start 12 issues with somebody else.
Yeah, it's like... It's felt like a couple of one-and-dones, sort of, for me. Like, I guess you say, like, a few storylines, and then... It's not really technically a one-and-done. But a few storylines, and then you just move on.
Yeah, like Spider-Man's going to fight Magneto. He's going to fight Dr. Octopus for about a few issues. Now he's fighting the Lizard.
Yeah.
You know, Does it tie into anything that happened before? No. I guess the character carries over of Spider-Man, but yeah, that's about it.
That could tie in if they wanted to. I mean, could have, but they won't do it.
To be fair to Iron Man 3, like, I did like a lot of the action. And I do feel like they're going for a darker storyline, the way they advertised.
Yeah.
It does feel like they're trying to be more serious. I mean, people do die.
Yeah.
Kind of. It feels like they avoided it before, which kind of gives me, I don't want to say hope, but it gives me more of a, like, maybe they're willing to take all the other characters in a kind of a more extreme.
So you think they,
I was really hoping for Shane Black, because I really like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang a lot.
I felt like having a different director to take things in a darker tone would be fine. You know, I felt like Jon Favreau, I don't want to say he couldn't do it, but I felt like it would be better off left to other hands.
Yeah, and almost like seeing, it's almost not fair to compare the two directors, because Jon Favreau was just sort of thrown a movie, and Shane Black was able to, like, come in with established characters.
Yeah, so he's like, and a good actor who knows, who's been playing the character, who's done it in three movies so far.
Well, I mean, like, I was going to go into, like, the action scenes. Maybe they were more willing to have action scenes this time around.
Yeah.
Compared to maybe one and two. I don't know, like,
it's also Disney funded this time around as well, so they have more money
to do more stuff. That's why I'm like, I'm kind of excited to see what else happens.
Yeah.
Because it is Disney associated this time.
Yeah.
And they shot people. People died from being shot. They're fucking, you know, people really died.
Yeah, I mean.
And it's something you wouldn't expect from a.
And sometimes people had to die because there was no other choice. You know, I'm not going to say anything, but certain people are pushing situations where then the choice was to kill people.
And, you know, like when you watch, I don't know, fucking, let's say a G.I. Joe cartoon.
Yeah.
You know how it's like they'll shoot down a plane, but parachuting away?
Yeah.
Like, it was cool to see that this time, it's like, no, we shoot somebody, they're fucking dead.
Yeah.
You know, we shoot down a helicopter, the people in there fucking dead.
Yeah.
But I would say kind of like where I don't like the movie is I feel like the story doesn't really add up to what it's trying to get at.
It doesn't, and it kind of just like goes around. You don't really know what anyone's real intentions are, like their drive to do some of the stuff they're doing.
It's sort of like I'm evil because I'm evil.
Yeah, I spent all this money being evil, or I'm terrorizing people because I'm evil. I have nothing to get out of it, really, just being evil. And that's some great action scenes, which is all I can say about it. Because the story, the character development is pretty cool. The story is pretty cool. Like, when it comes to, like, the characters, but, like, just the intentions of everyone is kind of just clubbed together.
And there's, like, I don't know, there's times we spend too much time with characters that I just could not give a shit about.
Yeah, like, you don't care if you see these people ever again.
Yeah, and it felt like, I don't know, it just felt like, I don't know, I can't say any specifics, but it felt like, we're gonna show you a character. It feels like we shouldn't spend that much time, but we end up spending about 30 minutes on this one character, or like we make a big deal. Like, I've never been a fan of Pepper.
Yeah.
And it feels like we got maybe, I don't know, it feels like that relationship wasn't handled in a way that I enjoyed.
Well, like I said, I don't remember Iron Man 2 as much as I've liked, like everything that happened in it, but I don't really feel their relationship developed Iron Man to the point that they're just together in the Avengers, and that kind of like sprung into like now they're just together in Iron Man 3. And it's a jump. I feel like it's a jump, and nothing really feels fleshed out of how it happened. Or, you know, it's that George Lucas not kiss mentality. He just grabbed her hair and just puts them together.
You see that girl? Kiss her.
Yeah, so it's like, now you have to spend more time with Pepper Potts that you probably didn't want to.
It's like, I'm not opposed to spending time with her if they would develop their relationship or...
Is he even paying her anymore?
Her character. I thought she ran the fucking company. Like, didn't he give her Stark Industries?
Yeah, was that ever resolved? Iron Man 3 doesn't really... I don't think it really touches on that much. He's still doing everything.
I think in Iron Man 3, they're not worried about his day-to-day, like, business affairs.
Yeah, because
it's sort of like he's rich because he's rich, and let's not spend too much time on it.
Yeah, but is he, like, behind everything in the Avengers? Like, with their corporation at that moment where they showed them, you know, working together at the beginning of the movie.
What?
Remember, they're building something. I forgot what they were building in the Avengers.
He was building something for Stark Industries. He wasn't building anything for the Avengers themselves.
No, I was talking about he was building something for Stark Industry. It was like, he said something about cleaner energy and how he's going to, like the way he was talking, like he was trying to market it out there and make the world better and stuff. Basically, he's making decisions, business decisions is what I'm trying to say.
It was just a deus ex machina.
Yeah.
It was just something they set up in the beginning of the movie you knew would come back later.
Yeah.
I don't think we're supposed to read too much into that.
Maybe so. But I just feel like, I feel like neither one of them were really doing anything business related in Iron Man 3.
Which is fine, I guess. We don't really need to spend time fucking in the day-to-day workaday
world. Yeah, like him signing paperwork and...
yeah, fucking in R&D looking at shit.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, man. It was just... without, like, it's hard to talk about it without getting into small details and
things
I did and did not like.
I really don't want to ruin it for anyone because it really was, at the end of the day, a pretty entertaining movie.
I mean, yeah, you can't take that away from it, how fun it was.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, it's just little things, like, I don't know, I can't say.
Maybe it was probably better than part one, now I look back at it.
I would say as far as, like, action, like, on-screen...
Yeah, on-screen action, hell yeah.
On-screen action, I think it's better than part one. Clearly, it doesn't hold up to part one in the story department, though.
Yeah, it doesn't.
But it's just, it's one of those, it's just easier to tell the origin story.
I felt like originally they were going with the extremist storyline of him having the arc reactor removed from his chest and trying to figure out how he's going to deal with not having it anymore and why he's still wearing a suit. I figured they were going to do that. They didn't, and that was fine. That's not a spoiler or anything. They'll tell you what they didn't do. But,
yeah. He didn't fight Fing Fang Foom.
Yeah, he did not fight him. that didn't happen.
The giant dragon.
Yeah. But wasn't he mentioned in the Avengers or like Captain America?
They said in part two, in Iron Man 2, he can be seen on a billboard.
Oh, well. Probably.
I don't remember it.
But yeah, like, I don't know, it's just like...
we got a Stan Lee cameo, I can say that.
That was pretty cool, yeah, we mentioned that, it's not a spoiler. But yeah, I feel like his issue with him, like, dealing with even the space and all this other stuff, they never did flesh out exactly what was going on with him.
Yeah, I feel like that was all marketing spin. It was sort of like
the kind of tie that Avengers did happen.
It was like in part two where they're like, this is the demon in the bottle storyline, yeah. That's what we're dealing with. And you watch it and it's like, well, you didn't really talk about that almost at all. Like, why was that even a selling point?
Yeah.
And I feel like anyone who's like, oh, well, it's going to deal with the effects of Avengers. It doesn't. Not really.
He's like, I can't sleep. I'm having trouble sleeping. And then, you know, other shit happens. I'm related to that. And he just deals with that instead.
Yeah, I feel like it's more stressful dealing with the events of part three than it is anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming the only thing I take from it, because it's not a spoiler as well, you know, the Mandarin is a terrorist. Like, from what they show in the trailers and all this stuff, I can say that.
Yeah, you can kind of gather that.
You kind of gather it together. I can assume, because just, like, the idea of it is this shit's happening. And you kind of mentioned in the beginning of the movie, this shit's kind of has already been happening. I guess not for a long period of time, but probably for maybe a few months or so.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of out of the loop because he's doing his own thing. He's just building a bunch of suits. So, which you can tell from marketing, there's a shitload of suits. You know, somebody had to fucking build them.
I feel like the suit thing didn't pay off in a way I liked either.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to get into any kind of detail, but I feel like... I don't know, it just felt like, who gives a shit?
I took it as because he couldn't sleep, he had all these issues. He was just building suits simply because he had nothing else to do.
That's not what I'm talking about. The idea that there's so many.
I know what you mean. I have an idea what you mean, but I want to... Yeah, we can't talk about that. But I'm just saying, that's why I think one of the reasons why they had so many suits as well was to kind of push towards the whole, he can't rest, so he's been doing this.
Yeah, I mean, they do bring up in the movie fucking, he's like, wants to work all the time and shit.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. I feel like it doesn't play into the broader story.
It does not, because like I said, it's dropped. But all I can think of is the effects of the Avengers left him the way he was, where he just doesn't have his shit together. And he's, like, spending so much time not really resting and just kind of just working all the time to keep his mind busy. Like, you know, not clear-headed. And while that's happening, the Mandarin is rising up and...
He's rising up back to the streets.
Yeah. God's bless, God's glory.
Yep.
And
he's going to travel the distance to America and knock Tony off his feet. You know, an Iron Man and his will to survive.
But, yeah, so I feel like while he's all occupied with his own personal bullshit...
While he's occupying Wall Street.
Yeah. The Mandarin's doing this thing, and he's like completely unaware of it, because he does mention, not a spoiler, he does mention he hasn't watched the news or TV anytime recently.
I don't know. It almost...
Like, he catches on to shit late, basically, what it seems like. That's, like, the only thing it served, really.
I would say, like... 3 almost feels like it's making up for everything 2 should have been.
Yeah.
In a way. Like, it does have a villain who, you know, they have to fight at the end.
Yeah.
You know, like, physically fight. It's not just like, let me do like a spin around laser shot and everyone's dead.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it feels like it has the same problems the other 2 Iron Man movie did. Other 2 Iron Man movies. Iron Man movies.
Yeah. Iron Man.
Yeah. The Iron Gentleman. That's my Asylum Pictures.
The Iron Gentleman.
Yeah. He's got like a steampunk monocle.
That's awesome.
But,
what about a mustache on the outside of the helmet?
Yeah. It's like a brass mustache. But, I don't know. It feels like it falls into sort of the same trappings as the other 2. Like, you have a villain you're really interested in. Yeah. And it doesn't play out how you would want it to.
Yeah, they just don't know how to... It's just they don't know how to handle their villains. It seems like.
Because in 2, you had Whiplash. You had Sam Rockwell's character, who I can't remember at the time.
Yeah.
And it was like, you really want to see both, but you have to sort of settle for one.
Yeah.
And in this one, they kind of do the same in the beginning, where they throw 2 bad guys at you.
Yeah. Then things kind of change where, you know, it's just not what you expected.
And, like, I don't know, it just sort of fell into that same trapping.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I would say the only thing that saves the movie, not the only thing, because the comedy in it is actually pretty good.
Comedy's good, the action's pretty good. I like the fact that we get less Tony in the actual full suit. We got a lot of, like, him half-suited. It's pretty cool.
Nah.
You didn't like that? He's like rocket booting and shooting as regular ass Tony.
Like I said, I don't want to get into it, but I have certain feelings about suit action, I guess, in the movie.
I also feel like it felt more like a political, not really political, but from more of an espionage kind of film. I really did like that. Like, it had more of a thriller kind of feel to it.
I don't. This feels like a bigger movie than 1 and 2.
It does feel like a far bigger movie than 1 and 2.
And I don't know if it had a bigger budget, and that's why they could afford to make it sort of a bigger movie.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It seems more adult for what it is.
Yeah. And at the same time, it doesn't feel as adult.
It feels like... Well,
it feels like they pander at times.
It feels like, yeah, we want to tell this bigger and broader story, but we got to keep it smaller at times for our other fans.
Yeah, we also have... You know, don't ever mistake the fact that we're trying to sell merchandise here.
It's like we want to make it for everyone else, but you got to keep it a little smaller for Josh and Cody.
Yeah, for Skyler.
Yeah, and Tyler. We can't make it just for Steve.
Yeah. You know, the little Trevors of the world also have to be able to watch this.
Yeah. It's hard to rate this movie. I have no idea of what I want to give it. A movie like this would usually be a 3. Because just the idea of it, just like full-blown fun and entertainment without much story to it, would usually be a 3 for me. Like, it was still enjoyable, but I didn't care for a story. But I did care for a story to certain points. Like, it did have good things in the story, but it just cluttered at times. So it makes it harder. So I want to give it a 4, but that's like completely ignoring my nerdiness and the stuff I didn't like about it, because I'm a comic book nerd as well. So I'm just totally confused on this.
I guess it would be the same for me. I definitely feel like, for the most part, you'll never be bored.
Yeah, you'll never be bored. It's not a bad movie. It's not a movie you'll hate. It's not going to be on your your top of your 2013 movies you hate.
Yeah, it's not going to be in the worst of.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I feel like after watching the film, I didn't, like, the more I thought of it, the more it started to kind of sink in that it's not the movie I wanted.
Yeah, then,
and I don't know why. Like, it's not like I was hyped up to see Iron Man 3. I did want to see it. It wasn't, like, my most anticipated movie of the year or anything. Yeah. But I don't know. It was just, it's weird. It's weird to talk about, I guess.
Yeah, and then we start looking back at some decisions they made to go with for, you know, the ending of the film.
Or even just in, like, anywhere in
general,
in the film.
Yeah, in general in the film. And you're like, look at it, like, why didn't you just do this earlier in the film series? It kind of stands apart. It kind of lets you know that they are just making these films with no kind of real connection. And it's just, they're just doing whatever. It feels like they're just doing whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I guess as far as, like, trilogies go, I don't know.
It's like, it feels like they give you one movie, which is the origin. They give you another movie, which is basic continuation. It doesn't add anything to it. And then they give you a movie that feels like it's just another continuation. They're like, oh, but it's deeper than that at the very end and stuff. I'm like, what? Really? You're going to try to fucking sell this to me now? It just don't feel like they really know what to do with it.
I don't know. I mean, like, I would say probably all of my movies, or all of my movies, all of my problems with it come from, like, a pure movie-based way of thinking. It's all in storytelling is mostly what I like, I didn't like. You know, the acting, none of the acting was bad to where I hated it. None of the set pieces and action scenes or jokes were so bad that I hated it.
You got to see Tony Stark go to places you don't normally get to see him hang out at.
I mean, there was, like, an action scene where I thought the quick cuts got on my nerves.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. That's sort of forgivable because it's not like the whole movie was like that.
Yeah. You get to see a little bit more of Rhodey do stuff as well.
Yeah.
This is pretty cool.
So, I don't know. What are you going to give it? Go.
I've been trying to avoid halves. I've been thinking about making a session of giving it three stars and a half.
Yeah, this is definitely like a 3.5.
Yeah, that's the only thing I come up with. Normally I don't give halves. I try to give it, you know, just straight solid, but I have to give this a half. 3.5.
Like, if you ever heard me review a movie, I definitely save one for the absolute worst movies I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I only save 5 for, like, really good movies.
Give an example. Give us a 1 and then give us a 5.
I'll go on, like, some recent movies I saw. One would be, like, Rock of Ages.
Oh, really?
Have you seen Rock of Ages? No. It was awful.
I wanted to avoid the singing.
It was, well, you're going to hate the shit out of it then. I would say Rock of Ages is, like, a 1, and, like, a 5 would be, like, Argo.
Yeah.
You know, I liked everything about Argo, top to bottom. Mm-hmm. Like, Argo was so good that I didn't even care that Ben Affleck was playing a Mexican guy.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, well, fuck it. Make it work.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, if I just throw out ones and fives all the time, then I feel like my ones and fives ratings don't mean anything. You know, if I give G.I. Joe a 5 and then be like, oh, fucking some other fucking arty ass movie.
Yeah.
You know, Argo, for example, is also a 5.
Yeah.
Then it's like, so you're trying to say these are the exact same.
Yeah, they're like, on the like same Argo level. Is as good as G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
A movie like G.I. Joe, which we did rate, I rated it as a 3, for what I remember.
Yeah.
Because, for me, 3s is... It means the story may not be good or may not be interesting, but I was never bored. It was still fun.
Yeah, it's right in the middle, which is fine. Which I think is a fair review for almost anything.
Yeah.
You know, just... alright.
Yeah.
I do feel like this is a little better than just alright.
But it's not...
But it's not, like, so good that I think it deserves a 4.
Yeah. Because the problems in it kind of hold it down, but they don't hold it down enough where it'll be a 3.
Yeah, it really... I would say it probably should be a 4, but I would feel bad giving it a 4.
Yeah, like I would. I really did want to go with 4, but this is our opinions. It's not us trying to pander to anyone else.
Yeah.
You know, so if anyone listening, if you don't like our opinion, then, you know...
Then go fuck yourself. No, just
Jesus.
Yes.
Anyway,
go fuck yourself, Jesus.
If you don't like our opinion, you don't like our opinion, we understand.
I mean, but, that's fine. You can never begrudge anyone their own opinion.
Yeah, but if to cater to anyone, I would give it a 4. But it, I don't think it's as good as a 4, a solid 4 now.
I feel like we've never gotten into it before, but like I watch so many movies a year. It's like maybe I grade on like I'm a little harsher on films than most people are.
Yeah.
Like last year I saw like 300 movies, maybe.
Jesus.
It, like there's always a new movie. Like if you're really searching for it, there's a way to watch a new movie every day. You know, or you know when you do watch a movie, you don't have to settle on the same movies all the time.
Yeah.
So, like, my spectrum of movies is so great that it's hard to judge kind of what a regular audience would see.
Yeah.
I feel like if I was going to say the average guy who's going to watch a movie.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you watch 10 movies a year.
Yeah.
Then I feel like Iron Man definitely would be, like, a 4 for you.
Yeah.
But I guess because I watch so many that I've just seen, like, better stories. I've seen probably the same story told in a better way somewhere else.
Yeah.
That it doesn't feel like a 4.
Yeah. I watched a bunch of movies. I've been a movie snob for a long period of time. But there's a lot of movies I didn't miss out on that I saw later on in life. And for review sake, because the whole purpose of the review is we want to make sure you don't spend your money on movies you don't want to, you'll regret in the future. I tend to try to see the newest movies that may seem interesting. I'm not going to go see a complete piece of shit that I know is going to be bad just to tell you it's bad. I mean, why would you listen to me tell you a movie's bad if you already know it's going to be bad? So,
And that's why we reviewed Tyler Perry's Temptation.
Sometimes I review movies I'm forced to watch. And that was the movie I was forced to watch. But getting off that, you watch more movies than me. I watch a lot of movies I miss, but mostly I watch newer movies. And doing that, I have to judge it fairly as fair as possible. And if I give a rating to something that was mildly fun, but wasn't the best story, I can't give that same rating to something that was fun but had a better story.
Yeah.
So that's what it comes down to. And I can't give it a higher rating that matches something that I really did enjoy just because. So I have to really just balance out and really just balance and see what I've rated before and why I rated it that way and make sure that the current movie I'm rating falls into those categories.
Yeah.
So this is one of the very rare things we do. So I have to give it 3.5 stars.
I feel like it's fair.
Yeah.
And I feel like people who go see it, who do... Like, if you're enough of a film fan to listen to a movie podcast...
Yeah. Nerd.
Then,
like us. Just like us.
Then, you could probably see how this is a 3.5.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe you'll even think it's a 4. Which I think is... I think if you do come away thinking, hey, this is a 4 out of 5...
Yeah, it's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I think that's just fine.
I don't think anyone's going to truly think it's a 5 unless they just don't watch movies that much. Or they're just totally okay with Iron Man doing whatever. But, to give it a solid 5. But a 4 out of 5, I see mostly a lot of people giving it that, and that's fine.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah. Yeah, this is just our personal opinion. That's all the time we have for today's show. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Please rate and review us on iTunes. Check out our blog at jimsmoviesandjunk.blogspot.com. Also, Tumblr page. We're everywhere, all over the internet. Just fucking Google us and you'll find us. I'm Notorious J.I.M.
And I'm Julian.
And I bid you a good day.